Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Setting this passage up in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter is kind of known as the Hall of Fame of Christianity, Hall of Fame of the church, and it speaks of all of these great men and women of the faith and how through faith they trusted God and so forth. And so we pick it up on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, speaking of men and women of the faith who've gone before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. About 3 years ago, I went on probably my last forever, my body is telling me that it's time, backpacking trip. Amen, Cheryl? Yeah, yeah. Next time we go, I'm gonna take my car and I'm gonna pull to the bottom of the head trail, and I'm gonna set up my tent right there. I'm just gonna pull it out of the trunk and just go, and just set up right there. But anyway, we went backpacking. We took about 8 from our church, and many of you are here. I think 6 of our 8 I was looking this morning are here this morning. But we went backpacking, and the thing about backpacking is you have a plan. You get a map and you look and see where you want to go and how you're going to get there and where the trails go and is there water along the way and is will there be good camping when you get there and so forth. And so several of us we made it up into the mountains and it's hard work. Carrying anywhere, the ladies usually carry around 30, 35 pounds on their back, and the men usually somewhere around 70 pounds on their back, and you're going uphill at an incline in thin altitude, and you pretty much spend the whole day backpacking up. And when you get there, you are worn out. So we spent a few days up in the mountains, and then it's time to come home. And there's something that there's this excitement when you're getting ready to go and when you're going up into to spend the week up in the mountains. But there's a real excitement, amen, to the 6 who were there, when you're getting ready to come out. And you have this, I always kind of, with the groups I've gone with, always kind of set this stage, and there's a place where we generally come out. What's that name of that town? Pagosa Springs. Pagosa Springs, and it's got this restaurant called the Old Miner Steakhouse. And it's a little pricey, but the Old Miner Steakhouse puts out some pretty mean steaks. And so I'm telling them, like, hey, tonight when we get back to the, we're going to shower. And then they've got this goes like a shower. We hadn't showered in a week. This is going to be good. And so we were that hot shower, man. It's like a surprise at the end. And then when we shower, we're all going to gather up and we're going to go to the Old Miner Steakhouse and we're going to have this big juicy steak. And so we're excited about this goal that we have. So we're coming out of the mountain, and normally it's a full day to make this trip. Well, on the way out, this last trip, we were so focused on the prize that we skipped lunch. We just packed right through lunch, and just normally we stop and we eat just a small lunch on the trail. But everybody was like, "Let's keep going." We had our eye on the prize, so we go and we get there and we have our shower. And we make it to the steakhouse, and man, there's We're just ordering all this stuff and everything. And I might mention that my soon-to-be son-in-law, y'all had been dating, what, 2 months? 2 or 3 months. And this is his first trip. So Chance, it's fair to say, Chance likes to eat. And so we could have like eaten the siding off of the building at this restaurant, but we go in and they've got this 19-ounce porterhouse. Now, in Texas, we call it a T-bone, but up there they don't know what they're doing, so they call it a porterhouse. But anyway, so there's this 19-ounce porterhouse, all the trimmings and everything, and so we get our food, and Chance ordered one of these 19-ounce porterhouses. And I mean, it's like lapping over the plate. Where's Mark? Mark Wilcox was on the trip with us. Bless his heart. And Mark is seasoning his salad. I mean, he's salting and peppering his salad. And he's getting it all ready, you know, and we have our prayer and everything. And Mark, all of a sudden I hear Mark say, "My gosh, he's already eaten that steak. I haven't even finished seasoning my salad." I mean, Chance had consumed this now 19-ounce porterhouse in like 30 seconds. It was gone. The bone was stripped, and it was just like this, you know, nub. Is that accurate or is it accurate? It's exactly the way it happened. Mark, I'll never forget your reaction. Mark had not even put the dressing on his salad yet, and Chance's steak was gone. Well, you see, there's this eye of the prize, eyeing the prize when we're focused on the prize. We're going to start this series. It's going to be about 4 weeks, as I said in the email. If I don't have your email address and you want to know things that are going on in our church and when things are going on and so forth, put your email address and let me have that, and we'll get you on the email list. But we're starting a new sermon series, Run the Race. Today is Keep Your Eye on the Prize. This passage that we read, this Hebrews chapter 12. I won't bore you with all of the long story of this, but I became pastor in September. It's been this month here in about 2 weeks. It'll be 10 years. It was September of 2002, and I remember the first Sunday that I preached. The Lord gave me this passage as His heart for our church. And here, 10 years later, that still applies. I believe that's still God's heart for our church. That first Sunday, I remember there was like 12 of us here. If you were one of the 12, raise your hand. You that first Sunday? Okay, maybe 15. But anyway, 10 years later, I believe this still applies, that God has this specific heart. You know, if we get this right, church, the details just take care of themselves. If we get this right. I want us to just kind of walk through this scripture. And the first thing that I believe God is calling us, church, you know, if you're going somewhere, you need to have a map. You need to know where you're going. God is calling us to be a holy church. I want that to soak in for just a second. God is calling us to be a holy church. Listen to what this passage says, that God has said, "This is my heart for you, Wiley United Methodist Church." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Let us throw off everything that hinders us." If it separates you from God, it's not good. Now, I want you to think about the things in your life. And sometimes it's okay stuff, you know, like TV is okay, internet's okay when you're using those things in the right purpose. And here I'm gonna start meddling right away. Okay, are y'all ready? Youth sports are okay. Hello, is this on? Youth sports are awesome. I grew up with youth sports. I grew up playing youth sports. But when anything hinders us, We're to throw it off. It says, it goes on to say, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Let us throw off the sin that entangles us. So we think of sin as like, oh, well, you know, being a drunkard and you know, all of these bad sins and everything. No, if it hinders us, passage tells us, and God's heart for us is to throw it off. Set it aside. God is calling us to be a holy church, which means this people of repentance, this people that understands that through our own goodness we cannot be holy. We cannot be made holy.
That is right.
Thank you. God bless. We cannot be good enough to be a holy church. How do we become a holy church? By being covered in the blood of Christ. That's how we're made holy, church. And the passage tells us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles us and to come under the blood of Christ. That's how we become a holy church. So I want to ask you as we go along here, how are we doing? And when it's so easy to say, to think of church as everybody else. But you know who church is? Take your index finger. That point right here. That's the church. Did you know that? Did you know that you are the church? And so God is calling us to be a holy church, but God is calling you to be holy. While a United Methodist people. And notice I put my finger at me too. He's calling me to be holy. To be a people of repentance. Coming under the blood of Christ. Second thing. If we want to be God's church, God is calling us to be a faithful and obedient church. Look at verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. To be faithful. To be obedient. A people of obedience. Too many times we fix our eyes on other stuff, don't we? You know, we're to throw off everything that hinders us, but how can we throw off everything that hinders us if we're not even looking, if we're not even fixing our eyes on Jesus so Jesus can say, that hinders your walk with me. And I know there's things popping up into your mind right now. The Holy Spirit's convicting. Me as well. And so how can we be a holy and faithful and obedient church when we don't even have our eyes fixed on Jesus? We have our eyes fixed on all this other stuff. And Jesus, if our eyes are not fixed on Jesus, then we're not even listening to Jesus to understand what needs to be thrown off, what's hindering us. God is calling us, church, to be faithful and obedient, to fix our eyes on Him. Third thing, God is calling us. If we want to be His church and be about His business, God is calling us, church, to be disciple makers. Not just disciples, but disciple makers. This goes back, and we're going to speak more of this in the next few weeks, but it goes back to the very commandment, the commission from God Himself. To go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples. And implied there is to first be a disciple, but then to go and make disciples. To understand that it's not about just me. It's not about, and you've seen me say this before, it's not about going, I got my ticket, everybody else is on their own. Do we do that? If our eyes are fixed on Jesus and we throw off these things that hinder us and bind us, then I guarantee you, if our eyes are on Jesus, He's going to give us a heart for lost people. Did you know that, church? If you don't have a heart for lost people, more than likely your eyes are not fixed on Jesus. That hurts, doesn't it? Now I'm getting really personal. If we don't have a, if our heart doesn't, I tell you, Let me tell you a story. I hadn't thought about this, but I'll probably get emotional, and I don't care. It's all right. You know, my dad's been moved to hospice at home just about a week ago. And one of the things that has been a blessing so far in that process, yes, there are blessings in the midst of even our trials. My dad, he worked for the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, was a supervisor for that state authority for 25 years or whatever, and all these men that worked under his command and under his leadership they've been driving in. Three of them have driven in a week from Victoria, from Galveston, from San Antonio, long drives in to just come and say goodbye to my dad. That's the kind of impact my dad has made. And there was a man this past week, and I happened to be over there when he came in, and we were talking to him, and he teared up. And this is a big old strapping guy, you know, in law enforcement, and he's crying, talking about the impact that my dad has made in his life. And I tell you, my heart broke, because after we listened to his stories for a while and everything, he asked me what I did for a living, and I told him I was a pastor, and you could tell he was a little taken back by that. And he went on to say a little bit later in the conversation that he had tried religion, and it just, he wasn't a very religious man. Guys, I got to tell you, my heart broke for this man. I'd never met him before in my life. His name's Robert. Pray for Robert. My heart broke because he needs Jesus. Not so that he'll be good. I think he's a good man. Because he just needs Jesus. Because Jesus is life. Jesus is everything. And my heart broke for Robert. Does your heart break for Robert? He tried religion. He just isn't a religious guy. Have you tried Jesus? Have you met him? God is calling us, church. If we're to be his church, to be disciple makers, God is calling us to be holy, faithful, obedient disciple makers. How are we doing? How are we doing with that, church? And that's not a question like an accusation. I mean, literally ask yourself, how are you doing with that? Are you holy? Are you under the blood of Jesus? Has he made you holy? Are you fixing your eyes on Jesus? Are you faithful and obedient to him? Are you more interested in, quite frankly, you know, the next appointment, the next thing, workplace you drop your kids off? And I know this is hard, and I know that this probably gets some folks upset with me, but sometimes that's my job, to get you upset with me. But it breaks my heart when I see families that are so consumed with making sure that their kids have all these experiences and are in all these teams and competitions and everything. It's like, it doesn't matter if they're always on the weekend and they're in Dallas and you're traveling. It's like, what are we telling our kids? Fix our eyes on Jesus, or fix our eyes on the select softball team? Are we saying, fix our eyes on Jesus, or are we fixing our eyes on dance? Now, there's nothing wrong with softball, and there's nothing wrong with dance, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but if that is what we're telling our kids, we'll see them through this life. Man, we are doing them a disservice, church. Are we holy? Are we faithful? Are we obedient? Are we disciple makers? Are we fixing our eyes on Jesus? That's who God has called us to be, church. We in our Sunday school class this morning, we started a new study called Alpha, and it's basically kind of the gospel, just going back through the gospel. And the guy that was presenting this morning, he quoted C.S. Lewis, and he said, the Christian faith, he said, if it's true... if it's not true, it's of total insignificance. Paraphrase. If it's untrue, it's of no consequence, no significance whatsoever. But if it's true, then it's of an eternal consequence. And he went on to say that there's not an option for it's kind of sort of relevant. But that's not an option. It's either of no significance or it's everything. So what is it, church? We have to, is it everything or is it no significance? Which too many times, and Jesus went on to say this, and it's recorded in Revelation, that lukewarm doesn't get her done. He spits us out of his mouth. He wants us hot or cold. Are you mine or not? That's what Jesus would say. Are you mine? Are you mine? Do you understand that I took nails for you? Is that what you believe? Or is it just kind of, yeah, I go to church. Yeah. I mean, where are we, church? I mean, God is calling us to be serious. Wiley United Methodist Church, serious. How are we doing, church? I want to just real quickly, I want to hit some of the things that hinder us in this race. Busyness. We've talked about some of this already. Busyness. And guys, I promise you, everything I'm saying to you, it's coming right back on me. So don't think that I'm holier than thou, that I don't have my own issues. The noise of life. TV, cell phone, internet, Facebook, texting. And no offense, young people, but I don't know if y'all could live a day without a cell phone. I don't know if you could do it. I think it's like disconnecting, you know, the tube in the hospital or something. And parents are going, yeah. I've seen them. They pay, you know, $8 to go to a movie, and they're. Oh, yeah, they got a movie over there. Do it out in the parking lot. It's free out in the parking lot. Cost $8 to text in here. Lack of knowledge of the truth hinders us. We got to get into God's Word. Don't trust me. Don't trust me to be the only conveyor of God's Word to you. You know, do you know people died? This is another thing that I watched on a great thing that I'm going to try to get done here for us to watch. It's called, what's that deal with that we watched the other day on TV? Kirk Cameron? Monumental. Amen. That's a great series, but Kirk Cameron, he went back to England and he talked about the pilgrims as they were coming here and what drove them to come to America. And one of the things was that they didn't have the Bible. And people would die if they, you know, the king would kill them, have them killed if they found out that they had a Bible in English that they could read. And that the church couldn't interpret for them. That was what they wanted. They wanted the church to interpret it so that the power was in the church. No, God's word is for you. So there's people who've lost their life so that they could open up God's word and read it, and we don't even get it off the shelf. Lack of knowledge of the truth. Fear. I'm afraid that God will ask me to do something I don't want to do. I want to tell you that if God asks you to do something and you're really surrendered, you're going to be excited about it. If he asks you to do whatever and you're really surrendered to the Lord's will, you're going to be excited about it. So you don't have to fear that. Sin, the sin of pride. I don't need God. Laziness. I got other things to do. Pornography, the sin, the addictions, gossip. Sometimes we even kind of cloak gossip with prayer concerns. You ever done that? You ever had a prayer concern? Well, we really need to pray for, you know, this person. This is going on. Oh, man. What are we doing? Are we really praying? Lust, covetousness, unforgiveness. That's a big one for all of us, isn't it? Dadgummit, when people hurt us, we don't want to let go of that, do we? And the enemy likes to remind us, man, can you believe that he said that to you? Can you believe they did that? Unforgiveness. Our passion for the prize, as in chances stake, it begins with a hunger. You know, we were eager to have a shower and a steak because we were hungry. We were desperate for a shower and a steak, quite frankly. Begins with this hunger for the prize, this passion for the prize. And guys, if you don't feel that, I ask you, God says that you have not because you ask not. Ask God, give me what Jeff's talking about. I don't have it. Give me that, God. Give me that passion. Give me that hunger. I want you. I'm going to read this passage again, Apostle Paul from Philippians 3. It says, but whatever was to my profit. Listen to, see if you think Paul's eyes was on the prize. Whatever was to my profit, meaning all of his personal accomplishments, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Think his eyes on the prize? I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's what makes us holy, church. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Are we pressing on? God's not asking us to be a perfect church, God, guys. He's asking us to be a passionate church and pressing on to the goal. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Guys, the next 3 weeks I'm going to be talking more specifically about what that means for us as a church. But unless we are passionate to run the race, unless we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the prize, I'm just a resounding gong up here. Let us throw off everything that hinders us, church. Let us throw off the sin that entangles us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus and let us run the race marked out for us. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you that we're not who we need to be. We confess to you that outside of the blood of your Son Christ, outside of that, we are just desperate and needy people. I ask you, Father, to place us under the authority of the cross. I ask you to bring us under the authority of Jesus Christ, that we would throw off the things that hinder us and the sin that entangles us, and we would indeed fix our eyes on you, Jesus. We thank you that it was your love for us that allowed you and prompted you to take the nails. Give us a heart for the lost, Father. May a heart for the lost just burn in us, God. Don't allow us to focus on trivial matters, color of carpet and nonsense. Pray against that, the distractions of that. Give us a passionate for things that you're passionate about. Help us to run the race that you've marked out for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will stand as we close, the altar is open. If you want to come and pray or have me pray with you, I will be up front. Come.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior. His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Is that your story, that you're praising Jesus all the day long? Is that your story? If it's not, it needs to be. We just sang it. It needs to be. Press on. Take hold of the prize to which Jesus has already claimed for you, and go and tell someone in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.